Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are still pursuing that question raised by Pastor James in chapter 4, in verses 1, 2, and 3, actually. The question is, why are there so many arguments and so many conflicts? I guess conflicts is a better word, because the kind of conflicts that he describes here range all the way from arguments to wars and everything in between. Now, most of us, if we were asked that question, would say, well, it's because unconverted people are sinful. That's true. And yet, James is writing to believers when he says, where do wars and fights come from among you, not come from among the people outside the church, outside the Christian faith, outside the realm of your experience, but where do wars and fights come from among you? And as we know, there are far too many conflicts among even the people of God, and even more than that, among those who are outside the people of God. So we're working our way through that question, and we are ready for two reasons for this condition, this fighting, warring, conflict manufacturing condition, as found in the last part of verse 2 and in verse 3. So here's all three verses as I read them, and then we'll come back and look at them again. But where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Wow. Is he really writing to Christians? I mean, this is pretty embarrassing, pretty degrading and embarrassing because it is degrading. But indeed, he's writing to Christians, or at least professing believers, and there's no indication here that he considers these people not to be Christians. So we've got to come to terms with what the Bible teaches. To that end, we will pursue it on this Tuesday, July 10. Thank you for joining me. And I know you are mindful of the fact that we do depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Well, where do wars and fights come from among you? That's a searching question that we have looked at before, and the answer is that it comes from within you, not external, not circumstances, not the other guy. Not that these things don't have any contributing factor or any bearing, but the primary problem is within me, within you. I remember years ago hearing an old country preacher who's now been with the Lord, long time. I think he went to be with the Lord in about 1968, so this has been a long time ago. But I used to hear him say, if you're having a problem, what you need to do is just get a stool and take a piece of chalk, put the stool in the middle of a cement floor on a sidewalk, take a piece of chalk, draw a circle around the stool, sit in the stool, and say, the problem is inside this circle. I don't suppose anybody actually did that, but we got the point. We got the point. We understood what he was saying, and what he was saying is exactly biblical, namely that the problem, no doubt, is with me, not with the other guy, but with me. And it's so hard for us to come to terms with that. But that's what James is telling us here. When it comes to conflicts, where does the problem come from? We are so quick to say, the problem is the other guy. The problem is my husband. The problem is my wife. The problem is that guy at work. The problem is that guy at church. The problem is that boy or that girl at school. The problem is the other guy. And James says, they come from among you. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? And as we've already seen, he says that it is unholy desires within us that we have not been able to fulfill, and we're frustrated about them, and we are fighting and arguing and trying to obtain what we have not been able to obtain, and trying to protect what we consider to be so valuable that we think is threatened by others, that has nothing to do with Christ and the cause of Christ. And he gets to the bottom line, really, in verses 2 and 3, when he says in the last part of verse 2, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And then he says in verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, James assumes the reality of sin. He's talking about sin all the way through here. Your desires for pleasures that war in your members. You lust, that is, have strong desires and do not have. He's talking about sinful desires. He's assuming the reality of sin. Christians really shouldn't have any difficulty accepting this, because Christians understand and accept the fact of sinful depravity. I'm talking, of course, about Christians who are Bible-believing Christians. It's a shame that we even have to say that, because in reality, I don't think there is such a thing as an actual Christian who's not a Bible-believing Christian. How could there be? How can you be a Christian if you don't believe the Bible? How did you become a Christian? You've got to believe the Bible. The Bible is God's revelation, and it tells us, well, it tells us all that we need to know about ourselves and about God and about sin and about salvation. And without that revelation, we don't have a clue. So I'm only talking about Christians who take the Bible seriously and believe it is the Word of God. And Christians who do that don't have any difficulty accepting the fact that we human beings are sinful human beings. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. We know that. So, we have no difficulty understanding why there are these kinds of conflicts, but so many times, here's where we do have the problem. We think that this applies to the unconverted. They're the sinners. We used to be, but we're not anymore. We've been saved by grace. So, we understand why the unconverted act this way, but do Christians act this way? And why would Christians continue to have these kinds of problems? And Pastor James gives us two reasons. And the first one is that we distance ourselves from God, as most clearly evidenced by a neglect of prayer. You fight in war, he says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. When you are frustrated with various desires, instead of turning to God, you are turning away from Him. Why? Well, it's because, well, for a number of reasons. Many times because we know that what we want is not pleasing to God, but we don't want to submit. We don't want to yield. We don't want to give up our desire. We don't want to change, or we don't want to be changed. So, instead of taking our concern to God, we know it's illegitimate as far as God's concerned. And if we make it a matter of prayer, He's going to make that more and more clear, and we're going to have to come face to face with unholy desires that need to be forsaken We know that, and we don't want that. And this is a pretty good explanation as to why some Christians neglect prayer, because they don't want to change. And why some Christians neglect Bible reading, it's because they don't want to change. And it's why some Christians drop out of church, it's because they don't want to change. That's the answer, pure and simple. And so the reason we have these kinds of conflicts is because we have distanced ourselves from God. We're not walking in the light. We don't have fellowship with one another, and we don't have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. We are pulling away from God instead of drawing near to God, and therefore we shouldn't be surprised that we have these kinds of conflicts. So the first reason is because we distance ourselves from God, and the second reason is because we corrupt the true worship of God. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. What's that all about? Well, when we do pray, sometimes our problem is that we want to use God. We want to use religion to manipulate God to grant us our carnal desires. We pray, but we ask amiss. So the first problem is we don't pray. You do not have because you do not ask. But then sometimes those who do pray still have a problem because they're asking amiss. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You ask amiss, that is, you ask in a sinful manner. True prayer manifests a trusting relationship with God as our Father, whose will is supreme. We acknowledge that, we delight in that. And we're not coming to God in prayer in order to change His holy will, not if our hearts are right, but if we are corrupting the true worship of God and are not willing to accept God's holy will as He has revealed it to us in His Word, and our idea is to pray so that we get our way, not God's way. We're not praying, not my will, but thine be done. We're praying, not thy will, but mine be done. Well, that's asking amiss. You do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasure, your sinful pleasure, your carnal pleasure, not your godly pleasure, where your pleasure is to please God, to serve God, to honor God, to love God, to delight in God, to worship God with your whole heart and soul and mind and strength. That should be our pleasure as children of God, but it isn't always. And so when we are treating God like a heavenly slot machine, that we think we can put the quarters in at the top and pull the lever and we ought to be able to get a big return, a big payout down at the bottom. That's the way it's supposed to work. We should pray and ask God for these things that make us happier and more successful in a carnal sort of way. Well, no wonder there's wars and fightings and conflict. That is as carnal, that is as sinful as it can possibly be. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.